Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the ISO Review Podcast, a production of Simplify ISO. The ISO Review Podcast shares the latest international standards development and is your resource for getting the most out of your management systems. Hello, I'm Howard Fox, business coach and host of the Success Insight Podcast, and I'm joined by the one and only Jim Moran, ISO Management System Professional, celebrating his 31st year delivering ISO support. Jim, so good to see you again. How are you doing?
Good to be back together with you, Howard. And when you mention that 31 years, it's incredible how fast time flies when you're having fun.
But I'll bet you haven't changed a bit. If we look at your badge from 31 years ago, you probably look the same youthful self.
Yes. Well, it's the nice thing about being in a career like this where you love what you do, you tend not to age quite so quickly.
I think that's very true.
Yeah, it keeps the stress down.
Yep. So what is in store for our listeners today?
Well, if any of our listeners were checking out our podcast back in February, we did a podcast called Integrating ISO 27001 into an existing ISO 9001 system. So we only had 20 minutes or so. So we're going to talk a little bit more, like carry that topic on further today, Howard.
Okay.
And get into a few more interesting insights that I've seen myself working with clients over the last 6 or 7 years since, actually it's getting close to 10 years now. This standard came out in 2013. And I've learned a few things along the way and just wanted to share, in addition to what we talked about back in February, just wanted to share a few more ideas for people and convince them, or try to convince them anyway, that even though this standard is quite intense compared to a lot of other standards, if you have ISO 9001 in place already, it's not going to be as nearly as difficult as you might think.
That was good.
All right. Well, to get started, anyone who is already ISO 9001 registered or certified will be happy to know that the structure is exactly the same with ISO 20. Those of you who are already certified and remember the clause about context, understanding the internal conditions of your company, the external conditions. By the way, a lot of my clients use the SWOT technique. They use strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities for the internal conditions and the threats for the external conditions. If they've done those kind of analysis before in their company, then they've already got the tools in place. And again, when you're adding 27001, everything is pretty much the same internally and externally. One thing that does change in clause four context, though, are the interested parties. Most of the interested parties will be the same, but there will be additional interested parties, especially regulatory bodies that examine how well you're keeping your information secure. So suppliers might be a little bit more interested, and you and I spent a number of podcasts, Howard, going through ISO 27036, the standard for the supply chain. And I think we had a lot of good inquiries and some good listener comments on those. It was great. So that's one interested party that might be different. And of course, any regulatory bodies to do with privacy of information, that kind of thing, personally identifiable information, so on. In the leadership section, everything is identical, leadership and commitment. The controls in Annex A do require specific people be identified as asset owners, and that might change Clause 5.3, the roles and responsibilities and authorities in your company. Depends on the size of your company and your organizational structure. Planning, you'll recall from ISO 9001, talks about identifying risks and opportunities. And then in 6.1 and 6.2, setting objectives and plans to achieve them. With 27001, they have some additional requirements doing something that they refer to as an information security risk assessment. And we have a document you and I have talked about in these podcasts, Howard, ISO 27005, which is guidance for how to do a risk assessment for an information security management system. So there's a little more interest or a few more requirements in terms of the risk section in 6.1, but the guidance is all there in this document. And in 27002, there's a bit of guidance. It's more for Annex A, but the additional clause in 27001 is 6.1.3, an information security risk treatment. And it's quite fascinating because for the quality folks, if they've identified the risks but haven't developed a risk treatment, this could be a way for them to enhance the ISO 9001 side of their integrated management system. Support is exactly the same. Resources, competence, awareness, communication, documented information is the same. Control of documented information might have some enhancements, clause 7.5.3, in the world of information security. The big difference comes in the operational planning part of this standard. Clause 8 is operations in all these harmonized standards, Howard. And here, though, we want to tie into what the clause I just mentioned, 6.1.2 and 6.1.3, the information security risk assessment and risk treatment. So your planning and control, the operation planning and control, is going to take into account what you discovered in your risk assessment and take into account what you've implemented in your risk treatment plan. So you have the risks, then you develop a treatment plan. And clause 8.2 requires an additional perspective, or has a different perspective, additional perspective on the information security risk assessment. Perform a risk assessment at planned intervals. Sounds a lot like internal auditing. And I think it would be possible to include the risk information security risk assessment in your internal audit activities, but you definitely would want to have somebody trained specifically for that. And again, to tie into 6.1.3, the information security risk treatment, clause 8, in clause 8.3, requires that you implement the information security risk treatment plan and then retain documented information of the results of the information security risk treatment that we developed back up in clause 6.1.3. So they all tie together, but where quality has a number of clauses in section 8, the operations section, the information security standard 27001 is more contained. It doesn't have things like purchasing. It doesn't have design. It doesn't have post-delivery activities or anything like that. But it focuses strictly on determining that your assessments have been successful and then also assessing how well the risk treatment plan worked. So there's an additional set of requirements as well in the controls, and we'll talk about those in just a minute. The performance evaluation clause, clause 9, is really virtually the same for both standards, monitoring, measurement, analysis, and evaluation. You'll see a few different phrases here and there, but the clause 9.1 itself is virtually identical. Clause 9.2 is the internal audit. And again, you can tie that in with 8.2, information security risk assessment and risk treatment, and 6.1.3, the information treatments and information assessments. So it all ties in together, as many of these standards do, but there is more emphasis here on definitely making sure that wherever you go in the organization, every single person is fully aware of how they can impact the security of information in your organization. And same description for the internal audit program: plan, establish, implement, maintain a program, frequency, methods, responsibilities, and so on. And there's nothing specific or nothing extra that you would see in here with your internal audit. However, I would definitely make sure that your internal auditors have had thorough training on the differences or the extra requirements in ISO 27001. And it doesn't hurt to ask each individual person you're auditing when you're doing your internal audit how they feel risks are being managed in their area, not just the quality risks, but the risks to information security as well. And then we get to management review, Howard, in clause 9.3. Same exact pattern, same exact input. The only difference is that you would be looking at not simply nonconformities and corrective actions, but you'd also be looking at security breaches. You include those in the agenda of the management review piece. Results, of course, documented and made available to relevant people. And then in the final section of ISO 9001, improvement, continual improvement. We all thrive on continual improvement by fixing things that are weak and making sure that things that could happen are also on our radar as well. Unfortunately, in the world of information security, you never know what's coming around the next corner, and you never know what 14-year-old in their basement in Schenectady is finding some devious way to break into your system. And of course, these days with programs like Steam, you probably don't use that at work, but sometimes those online gaming things become very susceptible to infiltration. And it's important to make sure that your own organization, you have a penetration testing as part of your assessment of your security. And that was definitely something that can help. Don't forget, too, that think of the supply chain that you and I talked about for 4, 5, or 6 episodes. You need to make sure that when you're buying things from suppliers, services, processes, products, whatever it happens to be, that there isn't some weakness in your communication with them that would allow them to get into some information. Don't forget, if they were able to get through your firewall, they would then have access to all your customers as well. Definitely not a healthy situation. So the nonconformity and corrective action section would also take into account, as I just mentioned, any breaches that have happened. And of course, the information security management system might have to be updated because of a breach, or it could be like, and so often is the case, just simply a one-off. Again, if you're thinking about implementing ISO 9001 or implementing, 27001 into a 9001 system, what I just explained to you, I hope, shows you that you have lots of stuff in place already. Oftentimes, I would give an estimate about 80%, maybe 90%. But in this particular case, it's probably no more than half, because ISO 27001, if people missed some of our earlier podcasts, has a whole separate section in addition to those requirements that we just quickly went over. We have a whole extra section called Annex A, and it has 93 additional requirements, additional to the 123 requirements in 9001, and additional and specific to information security. The roles and responsibilities, for example, can be taken care of with your existing chart, and the segregation of duties, management responsibilities. So it's not a case of you having nothing in place. But it is a case of you having to enhance, for example, your organizational chart to include other things. They talk about special interest groups, threat intelligence. So you want to be aware of or start to gather or have a way to gather information relating to information security threats. And then make sure that there's someone, you could outsource this, but you definitely want someone capable of assessing how serious the threat is to your organization. Project management, if anybody listening today is involved with project management, of course, there'd be information security issues dealing with you and your client, you and the subcontractors. So there's the more people you add into the mix, the more likely you will be to find a potential weakness and a potential gap that you need to develop. The other thing about the ASANIX we're talking about is that they use the term rules for the acceptable use and procedures of handling information, for example, and they are typically documented. So you'll want to have, in addition to what you have for ISO 9001, you'd want to make up some documented information on how you're going to meet the requirements of these 93 controls. Hopefully, you'll be able to do some of them with flowcharts. I think I've mentioned a number of times in these podcasts, Howard, that the human brain processes visual information 60,000 times faster than text.
Wow.
So anything you can do visually in your management system, and all registrars accept any visual representation of the activities you need to do to fulfill a process. The videos, you could show pictures, you can do stick people, anything in the world to get the information available to your employees. They're very valuable in any orientation program as well, as you can imagine, Howard. I remember doing a picture diagram. It was called a mind map. They were invented by Aristotle, by the way, 400 BC, 300 BC, somewhere in there. And I can still see the picture today, and it was like 60 years later. I saw the information in a book I have called How to Think Like Leonardo da Vinci.
I remember that book.
Yes, great book for anybody out there who's looking for ways to improve their management system, quality, information, environmental, health and safety, whatever. So when we think of yourselves getting started, think of yourselves using the ISO 9001 system you have as the sort of framework, or if you will, the skeleton. All the basic parts are there, but make sure you're really familiar with the Annex A controls that you have to add. And that will be a fair bit of work compared to just getting the clauses 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lined up. You will need that additional time and additional expertise to put the 93 controls in place. If you don't write software and sell it, then you'd save about 4 or 5 of those 93 controls. So you might be down to 86, 87, 88, something like that. But just be prepared. And again, they'll probably, many of them will go into Clause 8 in operations. The ones that you just heard about, the first ones having to do with management, they'll likely go in Clause 5 with leadership. They might go in Clause 7 under resources. We're talking about bringing new people on board and so on. So I hope that gives our folks a little more information on getting their ideas put together, getting a team put together, and using what they have already to get going into the world of information security to help protect both or all of their own information, their customers' information, and like we did in the last few podcasts, Howard, all the information end-to-end in the supply chain as well. So I hope we've given them something to think about and maybe a little toehold in the climbing the cliff of improvement.
I love it. And every time we cover or revisit the topic and the observations, integrations about ISO 27001, we always learn something new. There's some new little nugget of gold. And hey, once you strike gold, you keep digging away and see what else you strike. So that's what we did today.
See how big the vein is.
There you go.
And next time, we'll be looking at another standard we haven't talked about yet, ISO 27008. It came out in 2019. And this one I'm really excited about. It's guidelines for the assessment of information security controls. That the Annex A that you and I just finished talking about, all the controls, the 93 controls, you develop them, implement them, and then you can use this document as guidance on how to assess whether or not they're working.
Very good. Well, we will look forward to that episode, and I have no doubt our listeners are going to get benefit from listening today's as well. Jim, well done. And for our listeners' benefit, if they would like to learn more about you and your work, where are the sites for them to go?
The first site we always love people to visit, Howard, is the simplifyiso.com site. And there's an about page there, a contact page. And it also has some information, a little bit of information on our software that people can use to help manage both their quality and their information security management system. Makes it very simple. It's not too expensive. And it's got all the flexibility they need to design something for themselves to keep track of all the documents. You've heard me talk about this standard for months and months, and you can probably imagine that there's a fair bit of documentation that goes along with it. Simplifyiso.com. And the other one is the International Management System Institute, IMSIPro.org. And there's a contact us page in there as well.
Very good. And we'll also provide link to the ISO 27001 gap checklist, which is on the IMSI website. And also we're going to provide links back to your LinkedIn profile and also to the articles that you have published on LinkedIn as well. So lots of great information for folks to stick around with us, with you, and with the IMSI folks to really continue to grow and become more confident in the whole topic of international standards. And we will do that. So, Jim, thank you again for your time. And I think the next time we meet, we're going to meet one more time in November. And then we're coming down rapidly to the end of the year. Hard to believe. We'll be in 2024 very shortly. So look forward to seeing you a couple times before the end of the year. But thank you again for spending time with us today.
Thank you, Howard. Thanks for your help getting these podcasts put together. And as an award winner, you are certainly a great resource for me. And thanks for all your help as we've been going through this journey.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you. Listen, stay in the line. We're going to do a quick close and you and I can have that final chat, okay?
Okay.
All right, folks, you have just been listening to the ISO Review Podcast, this production of Simplify ISO. We hope you enjoyed and get the benefit out of today's episode and the additional observations and benefits of integrating an ISO 27001 system into an existing ISO 9001 quality management system. And lots of great information. And as Jim was laying the pieces out on the table, you can guess that there's always something new and something to discover when it comes to making this kind of integration. And so we hope you did get benefit out of this. If you did enjoy the episode, you know, go out and visit Jim's website at simplifyiso.com and check the About section and do leave a comment for Jim. And if you'd like to engage with Jim and his work and their software, that would be a great place for you to kick off that conversation. As well, you can visit the ISO Management Systems Institute, their website at imsipro.org. And while you are there, in addition to all the materials and resources that exist on the site, do check out their ISO 27001 gap checklist. We'll also provide backlinks to Jim's LinkedIn profile and also his YouTube channel. As for me, you can find my work for coaching and podcast services on my website at foxcoaching.com, and we'll also provide a backlink to my LinkedIn profile as well. Okay, folks, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, go out there, have a phenomenal day, and we look forward to having you join us on another episode of the ISO Review Podcast. Take care now.